I very, well, strep throat is something that's, if you're a preacher, strep throat's not a good thing to preach through. And I was very tempted to say yes, but realized that at that time I really needed to say no. And I knew that eventually Brother Miller would invite me back. And I happened to, one Sunday after church, we wound up going to Zaxby's. And we saw Brother Todd, Brother Amy, and Brother Lily, and of course, my daughter, and Lily, just two peas in a pod. And I happened to find Brother Miller there at the same time. So it worked out quite well. And he says, well, when are you preaching? January 6th. I said, well, I'm already preaching January 6th. Well, how about January 13th? And I said, well, my calendar's open, so I'm going to say yes. And I'm very appreciative to be here. At Old Union, I serve on the school board for the Old Union School. And I'd ask you to please be in prayer for that school. I think that I can tell you our teachers are there because they're called to teach at that school. They're not there to make money. And we've seen revival at that church because of that school. And I think that that school does a lot for that church more than it probably will ever know. Because the one thing that Jesus Christ told the disciples to leave me alone, walk away, was when he was with the little children in the temple. He said, no, don't bother. For we all must enter the kingdom as a little child. And that school, I can tell you every Friday, they have a lesson from a person that's called to preach. They have revival twice a year. And even though we have people from different denominations there, we, as far as I know, we've never had a parent tell us that the child cannot go to a revival service. And so they are hearing the word of God at least 10 anywhere from 8 to 10 times within a school year, preached in a revival format. And then, of course, every Friday. And just recently, one of those students, who is now a 10th grader, announced his calling to preach. And I am of the firm belief that if it wasn't for that school, that child would be in a different state. Because his family is not active. It is his grandparents that send him to that school. And we do not know yet what will happen with his ministry and his calling. But we do know that the impact that it brought people that hadn't been in church for quite a while back to church to hear him preach. And we're very hopeful and optimistic that God's calling upon him will be the dynamic difference in that family. Because it is that solid rock that we all look for. It's that solid rock that helps us get through these times that we face. Someone was talking about how there was no prayer in schools, and I guess I'm old enough to remember when there was prayer in school. I remember when there used to be prayer at football games. I remember when it used to be a person who was a member of the clergy of some church within the city that gave it. And then it became a school student because you couldn't have clergy preaching at a school-sponsored event. And now these days, children go to school with no Bible verses, no prayer. They go to athletic events where physically they are challenged. And they should be, we should see God's grace and protection over those children as they compete in athletics. And we have seen a public school system that has left God behind. Yeah. And we can see the results, I believe, firmly in the makeups of families, of single parents, of a generation that seems to be falling to the wayside. But the good thing is that we have a Bible that God inspired every single word through the Holy Spirit that we can go to, because it provides us with great potential to interact with a great and almighty God, for Him to mold us and make us, to intercede with Him, to meditate on Him. Because the more time we spend with God, more time we spend in His Word, the more time we spend in our knees on prayer, the more that we get that solid rock foundation that we know. Because it takes, I firmly believe, to have both feet on that solid rock. And for us to have both feet on that solid rock, we need to be seeking God earnestly in all things. If you have your Bibles with you, God has pointed out a few scriptures, and I don't know where it's going to go exactly. But I know that the message is about the greatness of God. Because we have a God that is great, very great. And if you take a look at the stories in the Old Testament, when they came over into the Promised Land and Joshua was leading the Israelites, if you take a look at the story of Jericho, I'm always amazed. You take a look at Jericho. This wasn't a military victory. This was God showing how great He was. The Ark of the Covenant, the priest, seven trumpets, walk around the city one time, first day, and then the second day, and the third day. And you got to wonder, God has a great plan, and He had told Joshua, but when you read it in the Bible, and you find out the city was destroyed purely to glorify the greatness of God, to show the awesome power that God has. And that same power that was displayed when the city of Jericho fell is the same God that is in charge today and forevermore. And it is that greatness that Satan wants to hold us back from. See, if Satan can't compromise us completely, he'll water us down as much as possible because he does not want people to believe in a great God anymore. Satan would try to distract us with material possessions and things of concern, but we know that we have a God that knows everything and takes care of everything, the birds in the field or in the air and the lilies in the valley, that we have a God that still wants to be great. But we have to go to Him and on our knees and pray and ask for that greatness to come. And Jesus, in the 14th chapter of John, verse 12. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." See, Jesus had to leave this earth in order to go to a Father to be that great mediator for us to be able to go and pray to a great God and ask in His name for great things to happen. And we need to be bold in our prayers. We need to be bold in what we are seeking for. Because the closer we get to God, the greater we get grounded in God, the greater our feet is on that solid rock, the greater the things that He can do when we come humbly to Him and seek Him and follow His will. See, all too often, it's just, I hear the words, "Well, we just got to wait on the Lord." And yes, there are times where we have to be still and listen for God to give us instructions. But God calls us to do great things if we follow Him. If you imagine all the great things that Jesus did in His ministry while He was in here, while He lived with us, a perfect life. And then once He gave up that sacrifice so that we might be able, when we fall in that burden of sin, that conviction, to go unto a God and for a God to save us through His love and grace and love of grace alone, because we know there's nothing that we can do. that when he went up into heaven, we have a great mediator. That God has said, I will tell my son a time where he will come back and establish a new kingdom. But God still wants to be great and to show his greatness just like he did with the city of Jericho for the Israelites. Because if you imagine the city of Jericho, imagine the people inside the city of Jericho watching the army of Israel walking around the city. Imagine what they have to be thinking. These are the great people that destroyed all these people. This is the great army of God. See, God calls us to be bold and courageous, calls us to go out into the fields, calls us to go out into the nursing homes, calls us to be that living dynamic example because he still wants to show how great he is to this world. But we have to be in tune with the great God. Ephesians chapter 1. Then I'm going to read verses 16 through 23. The verses tell us, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, tells us exactly the dominion of Christ. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mentioning of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know that what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, it gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, when we come and we try to get closer to God, that we need to seek Jesus Christ, we need to seek that understanding, we need to become more enlightened. It's not just a matter of when God places that burden and we come down and we pray before an almighty God and beg for forgiveness because we have nothing that we can give him to earn it. But when he gives it to us through that grace and faith, that he calls us to further. He calls us to a calling to do something. We become his. And we have to realize that when we become his, he wants us to be an active component. And an active component, we have to actually do something. All too often, it's very easy. This world will distract us. Satan will throw everything at us. Do everything to distract us. There was a football game on. I'm from Atlanta or Marietta, Georgia. I had to watch a little bit of the football game, but also realized that I had to do other things. You see, this world is full of distractions that have a lot to do about nothing. A lot to do about nothing. If you think about all the distractions, we've got a president. A lot to do about nothing. Because we know that God will take care of a president. God will take care of his people. But we need to be focused on what God would have to do with us. We have to be in tune. We have to be seeking him. We have to be following him. We have to have our eyes set on God in order to follow him. See, he gives us a calling. He gives us something to do. We're not just called to preach. Preachers are called to preach because, you know, you got to have preachers. You got to have people that are preaching the word. But when we are saved, we are all called by God to do something. If we were dependent upon preachers only, we have people that are shut in. We have people that are lost. We have people who are sick. Not one man by himself at the head of the church can do all that. Not all those that are called to preach can do that together. That's the reason we talk about the body of the church. It is a church that does it together. Paul talks about all the body parts and how it takes us all together. See, there are churches where you got prayer warriors. You got people of prayer, and they can pray. They can probably pray for days without even thinking about it. They're prayer warriors. You got people that have that gift of going out to someone. They don't know a single soul. Person that comes immediately to mind is Brother Paul Bryce. And Paul Bryce can go anywhere in the world, not even know the language, and he can share Christ with them. You have people who are evangelists who will go out there and share the word of Christ. But each of us in our own daily lives should be showing people the path to God by our lives because of the hope of the solid rock that we stand on. That if we show that light unto this world, they have to start asking, what am I missing? Because, as Paul said, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It wasn't in the great gifts or the powers of whatever Christ can do, but it was in the revelation of the wisdom and the knowledge of him, because that gives us hope. And Satan cannot give hope to a lost and dying world. See, that is the uniqueness of Christ that we have to share with this world, and we have to be examples of it. We have to show to the world why we are different. Why is God different? Why did God send his son to die for us? Why are we, when we realize that burden and we come humbly to God and he forgives us of our sins because of that precious blood? When people can say, oh my gosh, how can you put everything together? Everything's falling apart. I have a God that's great. We got to allow God to be great, and we have to proclaim that God is great, because we have a world that seems to think that God might be dead, because they do not see the greatness of God anymore. You see, we have a lot of churches who do not preach the fullness of the gospel. They'll take away from it, they'll add it. They'll even substitute something completely different into it. Self-help courses, how to make yourself better. I can tell you right now that all good things come from God above. And when we forget that, and we think that anything good can come from anything associated with this earth that doesn't come from God, then we have problems. And we've got to show people and lead that life that he would call us to be. Because we can do a great and mighty work when we allow God to use us. You see, it doesn't matter what is going on in the world, because I know God can take care of it. I know that I can pray to a God in the name of Jesus Christ, and he can do amazing things. We have seen the power of prayer. You can hear many stories. Most of you probably know about Zach Haley from Unity Missionary Baptist Church. A very young kid diagnosed with a very challenging cancer. But instead of going, woe is me, the parents prayed. The church prayed. Other churches prayed. People were praying all over the place. They had a thing called a Zach attack, which glorified God, because it basically said, God is the one who can make the difference in this child's life. And if you talk to Zach, you will hear his testimony on his salvation, his witness. We went to a fundraiser. It was sponsored by the FFA. But the number of people that were there from Missionary Baptist churches served as an example unto those children who did not know a true and living God. When we go out to the nursing homes, we are serving as an example by our action, by our faith, and following what God has called us to do. He calls a church to be active. He doesn't call a church to show up on Sunday morning, hear a sermon, and then leave and forget about him until the next Sunday morning. He calls a church to be active. Revelations is filled with many churches that have varying degrees. But you find the ones that were the most active were the ones that suffered persecution in God's name, that were active and contended actively for the faith with all effort and might, with everything that they had. Because God is great. When we see people, do we tell them about the greatness of God? When they say, how is our day going? Do we tell them about the greatness of God? That God has been good to me. Blessed be God. See, we'll face challenging times. And people will look at us when we supposedly should be down and out and in misery, on the side of the street, in the curb, lost with no hope. But we have a God that provides that hope, and when those times come, we have to show that hope. Because we have a great and almighty God. Are we contending for the faith and where we are showing the hope that Satan doesn't want shown? Are we? It's difficult. See, I'm always afraid of offending somebody. It's the way I was raised. You don't want to offend anyone. Growing up with my parents, we didn't go to church. It was all about political correctness. My dad was a very smart man, but was overlooked for numerous promotions at work, and it was a matter of looking right, fitting in with everybody. But you see, we're not called to be a part of this world. We're not. We're called to be different. We're called to show that greatness of God. We are called to glorify his name, to sing praises and lift it up. What scares me is, as I go to churches, you go preach, and you see churches in different states. You talk to people. You see them in different states. Sometimes they're as high on top of the mountain praising God. But even when we are low in the valley, we still have to praise an almighty God. See, God is gracious and God is good. And he provides many great things to us. You see, I want the goodness of God every day of the week and then some before I take one ounce from Satan. Because whatever Satan gives me is to my detriment and to my downfall. Satan gives nothing good to anyone. Because he wants to take everyone possible to a place that was designed for him and all the fallen angels. It wasn't meant for man. Not one bit of it. If I was to leave you with something in closing, there is a psalm I would like to read. I like King David. See, we have a story of a man. We see him from when he was a wee little boy. And we see how even as a little child, when the whole army of Israel was scared of big little giant named Goliath, how David had the faith and the greatness of God. He knew what it was. And I like looking at his life. Because we can see a lot of our own selves in it. Because we're not perfect. And we cannot beat ourselves up for when we fail. Because we will fail. But the thing is, picking ourselves up and going to a God and asking forgiveness and getting back. I guess John Wayne comes to mind. Getting back up on the horse again. And riding. Having courage, because we're going to fall off that horse. Psalm 46. This is a psalm that I read at work or whenever I need that strength. And I believe firmly Paul tells us to lock up the scriptures in our heart, because it's always there for us to call upon. And if you do not memorize Bible scriptures, I would encourage you, even with the worst of memories, there's some that you will be able to remember. Because you'll find that is a source of strength, especially when Satan is attacking you hard and this world is just doing everything to beat you down. And I would encourage you to do that. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melt. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We are called to live a victorious life, a great life to the glory of God. We should have no fear, because we are his. And many great things he will do if we just follow him. And we need to be seeking what he would have us to do as a person and as a church. Because the number of churches that are seeking greatness is fewer today than it was yesterday. And we need to carry forth what God has given. I beg of you, each of you, to examine your own hearts. For I know that when I do, I know that I always find something that I have left undone. And I need to get done. I always find things that we need, or I need, to do better. Don't be afraid, for God wants to be great, and he shows that greatness through us. Thank you.